Thank you for listening to the official podcast of Everyday Church. We are a body of believers in Oklahoma City with a mission to live out our faith on a daily basis. Let's listen in as we hear a powerful message from God's Word.
Say goodbye to our Big E kids. We love y'all. Y'all have fun over there. We will miss you. Excited about the new curriculum for you guys. And I want y'all to recognize Jack for leading us in musical worship today. He stepped in big time for us. Amy Frazier was going to lead us in a worship, but got sick this week. And then our dear interim worship pastor, Jonathan Castillo, is also sick. And so we had so much going on. I mean, 2022 has started off with a bang, right? Especially for us Hickmans, we all got sick. We all had the Rona, except Izzy. She is stubborn, and COVID said, no, I don't want to mess with you. And she just bypassed Izzy. That's a good thing. And then messed with us all. And some people would say, well, that's just a bad omen, right? To start off the year with something so bad, which it is. But I don't necessarily think it was a bad omen for my whole year. One, I don't believe in omens. But two, there's another way to look at this. Like, this is a good thing, right? That God helped us through this and for it to not be so bad, to be pretty mild for what it is and to recover quickly. And so I think it is a positive thing. See, I don't think that 2022 is just going to be a bad year because of how it's started. And to be fair, there's a lot of rough things happening in our world, but that doesn't mean that 2022 is doomed. And that it's just going to be a rotten year, okay? Things can turn around. As we see with the OU football program, it got better, okay? Just because something looks bad doesn't mean that it has to be bad. It can still be good. I think 2022 is ripe with potential. I believe that God wants to do something big in us, okay? And let's just maybe even say you. Let's just make it personal this morning. I think God wants to do something big in you, and I think God wants to do something big in our faith family, in Everyday Church. See, next week, we're actually going to celebrate turning 8 years old. And most church plans that start with one family don't make it to eight. And we're going to be eight, and by just God's grace, we're making it to eight. And so next week, we're going to celebrate that. We're going to have a little pool party, which is indoors, by the way, not outdoors. We're not going to the aquatic center. We're actually going to just go to the pool here. We're going to have a baptism, and we're going to celebrate turning eight. We're just going to praise the Lord, okay? So that's really, really cool. And it just kind of takes me back, though, thinking about turning eight, just to the beginning and how God called us and my family to plant Everyday Church and how he provided every step of the way. Now, it was a journey, and it was arrived, but God was good, and it was miraculous, which just reminds me, God wants to do the miraculous, and God wants to write an incredible story through your life. I believe God wants you to surrender the pages that he really bestows to you, that he gifts to you, wants you to surrender them back to him and say, all right, God, I want you to write this incredible story. See, I'm going through the one-year Bible again, and I can't remember when the first time I ever did that. I'm probably near somewhere 10 times going through the one-year Bible. It's one of my favorite things to do as part of my devotional life with the Lord. And as I read through the one-year Bible, I'm always just amazed at the story of the Bible. Now, a big part of that story is me and you. And what I mean by that is people. Now, the main character, of course, is God. Don't get me wrong. Don't mishear me. Okay, God is the central figure of the Bible, but God uses people. And that's what really sticks out to me, that God allows us to play a part in his story. And not just play a part. We're vital to the story. God has a special purpose for you and a special purpose for me if we would surrender to him and we would allow him to empower us. But there's a big part of that is you, okay? There is us in that equation. It's not just, God could just do everything on his own, but God didn't work it that way. Thankfully, God says, you know what? I want to use you to do these amazing things. And I believe 2022 is a chapter in your life story. That if your life was a story and is a story, that 2022 is a new chapter where God wants to write this incredible, interesting story. not a boring story, not a dull story, something that people would want to keep reading, like, man, this is an incredible story. God wants to do the miraculous in you and through you. He wants to write an incredible story. Now, of course, we don't know when the story ends. That's a big part of it. We don't know when we live our lives when that last word will be written in our story. We don't determine that. Okay? We have to just trust God. But you're alive right now. There's breath in your lungs. And I believe whatever breath you have remaining, God wants to write an amazing story. And so the goal is, with the time that we have, is to write it. Now, when I say write it, you know what I mean. Live it out. And maybe part of you living out your story is actually writing a story. That could be a part of it. But how you live your life is what people are reading. Do you understand what I'm saying? When they look at your life, how you're living it is the story that they're reading. Is it an amazing story, or is it a pretty boring, dull story? God wants to write an incredible story in your life. We love stories, right? We are intrigued by stories. We connect with stories. That's why we like music. Okay, some music has incredible stories. And some of you are more auditory, or you kind of lean that way musically to a really, like, the lyrics of a song and the melody of a song and just how it plays all together. I have some lyrics of a song that is pretty much just a story. And as soon as you know what song this is, just raise your hand. Here are the lyrics of the song. I dug my keys into the side of his pretty little souped-up four-wheel drive. Okay? Not everyone knows this song yet. Carved my name into his... You almost sang it. Thanks, babe. That was really good. Okay? That was beautiful. All right, so you know this. What's the name of the song? Ooh, you know the lyrics. Let's keep going then. I took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. I slashed a hole in all four tires. Maybe next time he'll think. Sarah, what is it? Before He Cheats, right? So we know that song because it's a country music song, and all country music songs is a story, right? Country music is known for being very much story based. Now, they're sad stories, and they'll break your heart stories, okay? If something bad is happening in a song, it's probably country, okay? A pickup truck's going to break down, a dog's going to die, someone's wife is leaving, clothes are going to be burned up, okay? It's really sad. It's country. I actually heard that if you play a country song backwards, you get your house back, you get your dog back, your pickup truck works, and you get your first and second wife back, okay? And so, you just got to play it in reverse. You just play the country song backwards and it all works out. But country songs are stories. A lot of people like country music. Music in general can be very much a story. Some of you are not like, I don't really dig the music. I'm more visual. I like movies. Anybody, you're in that camp, you're a movie person, you like movies. And so you watch them. Anyone like a movie? Here, raise your hand if you like movies. Some of you are just so scared of the theater right now. You're like, I don't even want to watch a movie because COVID's in a movie. Okay. We used to go to theaters. I don't know if you know this. They have seats, and sometimes you'd even get popcorn, and other people would be around, and you'd watch a movie together. Now you just stream it, right? But some people love a good movie. Why do we love a good movie? It's the story of it, right? You're connected to the story, whether that's really sad, like The Notebook, which I don't know why you would like a movie like that. But I'm going to read you some lines to a movie. Raise your hand when you know what it is. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that might make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you, and I will kill you. Okay, what movie is that? Taken. Matt got it, okay? So I think, Sarah, you were like real early on that one too. I think I said I, and you're like, Taken. Very impressive, okay? Y'all have a movie theater in your house. That's why. That's really cool. Okay, Taken. Anyone seen Taken? Okay, so that's a really good movie as far as it brings you into this man trying to save his daughter. And, of course, she was a fool in that movie. But you get kind of sucked into a good story. Now, maybe some of you are visual, but in your imagination. You don't need someone to shoot the pictures for you. You actually can create them in your own mind. So you love a good story, but it's not necessarily through a song. It's not necessarily through a movie, but you read a book. Now, Macy, you actually read a book, and you're young, too. I thought I might have to explain to you what a book is. But some people read, like, the Kindle version or whatever, but there's something special about turning the pages, right? Real paper in a book. A lot of people don't read anymore. How many like to read? Macy likes to read. Sarah, of course. Yeah, Kim, my wife, she loves her. She's in a good book right now. I can't even, like, watch TV. I'm not interested in her, but, like, hey, let's just watch a story. She's like, no, I'm reading a story. And it's a long book. Can you please finish that pretty quickly? So some of you, more than I expected, like a good book. I thought I might have to go way back. So I'm going to go way back on a book that was one of my favorite stories growing up, and I was required to read it, and maybe you were too, but it was a great, great book. Raise your hand when you know this story. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view. Now, anyone know what this is yet? Okay? Now, here is maybe the key to it. Until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it. Anyone know that? What is it? No, Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, Son is one of my favorite stories. That was good. I'll read it one more time. You never really understand a person until you consider things from his point of view, until you climb inside of his skin and walk around in it. That is from To Kill a Mockingbird. Did she say it? Chad, are you giving her credit? Sarah, you got to raise your hand. Okay, that was really good. In fact, Harper Lee is from your hometown, right? Okay, so To Kill a Mockingbird, one of the most famous stories there is. Now, we love stories. We connect to stories. Now, maybe those weren't your favorite stories. Maybe it's you're more into either a rap song that has a story, or maybe you're into different types of movies or different types of books. Maybe it's a comic book, okay? Who knows what it is? I'm so old. When we would get the newspaper, I'm going straight to the funnies, right, the comics, and I'm reading about Garfield or whatever the case may be. That was sports and comics. That's all I knew. But we connect to a good, good story. And I believe we connect to a good story because that's how God has wired us. This is what he wants to do in our lives. He wants to write this incredible story through us. Now, every story, even some of the songs or the movies or the books that we read, every story is going to have some sort of conflict. It's going to have drama. It's going to have obstacles to overcome. There's going to be giants to face. There's going to be trials to win. There's going to be battles to face. Every story, every good story has tension. Now, that's the part where we check out. Because we can get behind this. Ooh, God wants to write a great story in my life. 2022, let's go get it. Let's go get every win we can get. Let's go get every great thing that's out there for us. But when I say, hey, your great story includes problems, pain, tension, battles, you're like, nah, I'm okay with my boring story, right? Well, that's fool's gold, because that's not a great story, and that's not a great life. Even great stories and the best stories have incredible danger, twists and turns, ups and downs. And I really think what the devil wants to tell you with 2022 is, hey, just play it safe. Just sit back. Don't be out on the forefront. And what the devil will try to tell you is that, hey, really, God's just a God of peace. And so your story, if you want it to be an incredible story, is no tension whatsoever, is no conflict. It's just peace. Well, that is a lie. Our story was never meant to be completely smooth. It's actually meant to be this crazy adventure. Jesus said this, and I've read this to you before. He said, do not think I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. We just came out of this Christmas season about peace has come. And it's been about Jesus' peace, and he is peace. He's not talking about inner peace in this passage. He's talking about outer peace. We can have inner peace in every tension, in every conflict, in every season. But we're never promised constant outer peace. In fact, what Jesus said is, I didn't come to bring that type of peace to the earth in this first coming of our Savior. I've come to bring a sword. There's division, there's tension, there's conflict because we're a part of a different kingdom. This world is no longer our home. We're foreigners, we're aliens, we're strangers in this world. There's tension with a lost and dying world. And deep down, we know this. If we've given our life to Jesus and we put our faith and trust in him, we know that we're created for something more. We know we're connected to a great story. And the reason we know this is Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has put eternity in our hearts. We know that there's going to be more than just what this world has to offer. We know that there's more than this life out there, that we're connected to eternity, that there is something bigger and grander out there for a believer who's put their faith and trust in Jesus, that eternity is in our heart. There's this bigger picture, this bigger story that we're connected to. And the first followers of Jesus, their world was changed and they connected with this story. They connected with God's story, that there was a purpose for their life, that what this world had to offer was not what it was all cracked up to be. And so I want to look at a great story. If you have your Bible, let's just look at it together. I want you to go to Acts chapter 3. Acts is a history book, okay, retelling the story of how the first followers of Christ come to this understanding that there's this great force in them that is actually enabling them and calling them to write a beautiful story with their lives. As you find it, I'm going to take a drink. Acts chapter 3, we'll be in verse 1. If you'll recall, Jesus has been crucified, he's been resurrected, he's been ascended. He promises the Holy Spirit to these believers. The Holy Spirit has come. There's this, in Acts 2, there's this, what we call Pentecost, where the Spirit comes and there's this message delivered and thousands of people put their faith and trust in Jesus. And the story continues in Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried. Macy, so lame here doesn't mean like he didn't have TikTok. It means that he couldn't walk, that kind of lame. All right, and so he's lame from birth, and he's having to be carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms, a handout for those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. Can I have a handout? Can you help a brother out? And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. He's like, okay, yeah, I'm looking. If I'm going to get something, you got all eyes. Verse 6. But Peter said, wah, wah, wah. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. That's the lame dude. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This is a great story, right? I mean, if your 2022 started off like this, where you told somebody, hey, you're lame, no longer do I want you to be lame, get up and walk, that would be a great story. We could make movies about that, right? A song could be written about that time that lame dude started walking. This is amazing. And then there's this great line, too, with it. I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. I mean, boom, print it, that bestseller, right? Which, by the way, the Bible is. It's amazing. And to cap it off, dude's actually healed, right? The story kind of takes a weird twist if he's like, oh, and falls over. Now it's a comedy, right? But no, this is, he's healed. He's leaping. He's praising. Everyone's amazed at it because they know, like, wait, hang on. This guy was the guy who couldn't walk. He had to be carried daily to this point because he was trying to hit up the religious people for money. This is an amazing story, but it's not the end of the story. You think, well, that could be it right there, done, sealed, over. No, there's more to the story. It keeps growing. I'll sum up the next few chapters, 11 to 26. Basically, there's this crowd that forms because of this miracle that happens. And Peter's like, well, if I got a crowd here, let's just write a bigger story. I mean, this is already pretty cool, but this is one man who's been impacted by the name of Jesus. And so since I've got a crowd, I'm going to seize this moment, and I'm going to see many people impacted by the name of Christ. And so he shares with them, hey, it's not because of my holiness that this guy is healed. It's because of Jesus. And he turns it and says, hey, if you want to repent from your sins and turn your life to him, you can be changed. You can have a relationship with the one true God. In fact, look at verse 19. Let's just look at it together. He says, repent therefore and turn again that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. He says, turn from your sins and you can be forgiven, which only God could do. Sin, he's saying, your sins could literally be sent away from you, not just overlooked, separated from you, cleansed thoroughly and completely. You can be made whole if you turn from your sin, you turn to him so that the Christ, Jesus, will come into your life. Many at that moment believe. This story keeps getting better. Now it's because of this one miraculous physical healing that all this thousands of spiritual healing has occurred. Probably because of two sermons now, there's probably somewhere close to 10,000 new believers. You talk about exponential growth. You talk about multiplication. We've gone from the 12 and some more, okay, hundreds to thousands of believers. That's a great story. That's pretty amazing, right? I mean, we could turn that into a movie. But it doesn't end there. The story keeps going. Okay, the lame man had some conflict. He was lame. Now Peter, now John, they've upset some people. Now there's tension for them. They just stepped into this great moment, saw someone physically healed, see thousands of people put their faith and trust in Jesus and are now believers in Jesus. But those, the establishment, the religious leaders that were not for Jesus, who actually crucified Jesus, sent him to be crucified, are now upset. They don't like the attention, the attraction that has gone on with this movement, followers of the way, followers of Jesus. They don't like this message that the man they killed has come back to life, and that the man they killed was actually the Christ, the one sent from the Father. And so they arrest Peter and John and say, nah, you ain't supposed to be talking about that. There's some tension for Peter and John. Wait, we just did a great thing, God. Shouldn't we be protected? Shouldn't we just have peace? Shouldn't our lives be, quote unquote, hunky-dory? Now, why did I quote that? I don't know. It's not in scripture, but I'm quoting myself. Okay, they're thinking that at least. Well, we could have a pity party and say, wah, 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 God, things aren't my way. I'm going to quit being a part of this story. But instead, they're like, all right, let's go. Let's just see if this story can get better. Peter's like, this time I've got a different crowd in front of me. This other crowd believed and put their faith and trust in Jesus. Well, I'm going to add to my chapter. I'm going to seize this moment. And he shares with them another message. Look at, let's go to chapter 4, verse 8. This is Peter on trial because of what has happened. Then Peter, verse 8, says, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders, this Jewish ruling body, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what man's this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Do you see this? This is such an incredible story. Now, you want to know why this guy's healed? It's because of Jesus. You remember Jesus, that guy y'all killed? Y'all remember him? The one you crucified? But you remember God raised him from the dead? You remember that one? That's why this guy is healed. Look at verse 11. This Jesus is the stone that was, just in case they didn't miss it, that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's incredible. Now, the messenger to this message, was he perfect? No. See, this is where you start checking out. You're like, man, I can't write that story. My life can't be that story. You don't know who I am. Hey, hang on. Y'all know this guy named Peter, right? He's delivering this message. Did Peter ever deny Jesus? Yeah. Did he ever deny maybe more than once? Yeah. Not more than twice, right? Nah, yeah. Three times. He said, no, I don't know who this dude is. Again, not necessarily in the Greek. I've got an OBU student here today, so I got to make sure I throw that in just so we're all clear. All right, some seminary professor probably watching online right now. I know it's not there, but just go with me. He said, no, I don't know this guy Jesus. But here, in front of all these people, he's confessing, no, Jesus is that guy. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. In fact, no one can be saved unless your faith and trust in him. Earlier, he's weak. He's frail. But now the Holy Spirit has come into his life, and he's bold as a lion. And he tells y'all, hey, y'all killed him, rejected him, but he's actually the way to God. He's the Messiah. He's the one. If you're looking for any other way into heaven, it's only by him. That's the only name. It's the only way. Now look at verse 13, chapter 4. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished and they recognized, hey, they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. Can't deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. I mean, great story from real people. People that had passed, people that were not perfect outside of this changing in faith in Jesus and the Holy Spirit coming into their lives. It's just this incredible story. God using regular people to write a story you'd want to keep reading, right? Wouldn't you want to keep reading like, ooh, what happens to them? This is amazing. I mean, they're threatened. But they're unfazed by the threat of, hey, you better not speak any more about this. They deliver this great line and say, hey, we're gonna listen to God rather than you. We can't help but to speak of what we've seen and heard. Just incredible story. Incredible line. Incredible, amazing intrigue. You want to keep reading or listening or watching this story. But it doesn't end there. It keeps going. In fact, you could go all the way through Acts, but let's just go a little bit further. They go back and they tell their friends what happened. They said, listen, we were told not to talk anymore about this. That we would, they threatened violence upon us. They could have us arrested. And then chapter 4, verse 30, they're telling the group what happened. They said, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. So they pray. And they ask God for more boldness. so that they could keep sharing his word. They wouldn't back off. They wouldn't succumb to the threats. They would continue to be bold for the glory of God. Isn't that an incredible story? We've read just that snippet before, but I wanted to go back and say, listen, there's a whole lot of context to getting to the point where you can be bold enough to say, God, I know I've been threatened. I know this is tough. I know this is hard, but fill me with more boldness so that I can share more. My story is not always like that. I stubbed my toe on the way to a gathering. I'm like, God, why me? Do I have to go this morning? My toe hurts. Okay, that's never been me, but you get what I'm saying, right? A little conflict comes our way and we bail. Or we can't share our faith because they might be offended. And here they say, God, fill us up with boldness. They pray, God, give us not a lighter load, but a stronger back, right? Listen, I tell you, in my story, I'm tempted to pray against those that are against me. I'm not praying for boldness for myself. I'm just praying against them. God, give them ugly children. You know, I'm whatever it is, smite them, God. May they continue to reek of rotten Velveeta. You know, whatever it is, I'm praying against these people as opposed to, hey, God, listen, tension happens, conflict happens. Help me to keep sharing more. Now, this story doesn't end there. I mean, the Spirit of the Lord shakes the room, fills the room, and they continue to do these amazing things for God. The story keeps going until really, you know when? It gets to you. Because of their faithfulness and because of their trust and because they share this incredible story of about an incredible Savior, eventually it gets to whoever told you. Right? That person's life was impacted by the kingdom of God, by the grace of God, by the story of Jesus. And then that person somehow shared with you. And maybe it was an invitation. Maybe it was actually a communication. Maybe they left some material. Who knows how it got to you, but it got to you. And now, what do you do with that story? Are you writing a great story with your life? Or is the story ending with you? Now, the story will never end, praise be to God. He's going to find ways, and he's going to find the people that say, here am I, send me. But would you step into that and say, why would I want the story to end with me? Why would I want my 2022 to be a story about myself or the story about nothing? Why wouldn't I want to step into God's story, the story that he wants to use me in, that he's calling me towards? If you're breathing this morning, there are more pages and possibly chapters to write. You got to get to writing with your life. Don't let the story end with you. How do you write this story? I don't know. I think the verbal part is huge, but I would encourage you to do something good. Pray about it. Think about it. You know what the sad thing and the indictment of who we are as a people is that we spend more time on other people's lives than we do praying and thinking about how God would want to use me. And what I mean by that is we live vicariously through other people and try to connect to eternity or try to connect to this incredible story through the lives of others. And we do that through media, like movies. We try to connect with the heroine or the hero of the story. And we love those movies. And we really kind of see ourselves in that story and we live through that. But yet, you leave that theater thinking, man, I just conquered Everest. But you did nothing. You just watched a decent flick. And maybe it's not media at large, but maybe you're watching people through social media. And you're living your life through their post. That's a sad state of affairs. Maybe it's through the books that you read. Maybe it's through the podcast that you listen to. They're not fake people anymore. They're real people. But yet you're not that person, but yet you're living your life through their story. You spend so much time and energy on other people. Sometimes it's parents through their own kids. That parent quit living life a long time ago and is trying to live through their kids' life and help them write an incredible story. But listen, God wants to use you today, young, old, every one of you. You have breath in your lungs. God wants to write an incredible story through your life. The pages of Acts has not necessarily ended in the sense that God can't do anything. Do y'all think God, when Acts was finished, like, all right, that's it. God can't do anything else. Man, God lost all his power at the end of Acts. Or does God want to look for those that would say, I'm all in, use me. Here am I, send me, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, write a great story through my life. You're a part of that equation. Your yes needs to be on the table, and then you need to step into the moments that he gives you. Live your life in such a way that people would say, man, I got to keep reading. I got to keep listening. I got to keep watching. What's your life say? Ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? Brainstorm with him. Pray, God, give me the boldness to speak your name. May 2022 give you the most glory, honor as possible. Empower me to write a great story. Now, there are several kind of different groups in these stories that we read, but maybe you feel more like the lame man. 40 plus years had to be carried to go ask for handouts. Jesus and the power of Jesus is what changed him. Maybe you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, and spiritually, you're dead. There's no vitality in your life. You've never really put your faith and trust in him. Spiritually speaking, you're lame. Would you put your faith and trust in him? Because I know many people listen to the podcast and are online today and in this room even. If you need to put your faith and trust in Jesus for the first time and really mean it, would you do that? And so let me just have that moment with that group of people right now. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, spiritually you can't walk. But today you want to be able to leap, to stand up, to praise the Lord. And what I mean by that spiritually is you want to put your faith and trust in Jesus that you believe. As Peter said, you want to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus so a time of refreshment will come in your life. As he said, there's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. You want to be right with God. It's only through Jesus. This is how you do that. Pray something like this in your heart. Say, God, I do admit, I know I do have sin. Start with that. I know I've screwed up before. Please forgive me. I know I've messed up. Forgive me of every sin. I'm believing in Jesus right now. I put my trust in Jesus. I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me. He rose again. He's the Messiah. He's the Son of God. I believe. And so Jesus, come into my life. Come into my heart. Give me a new heart. Forgive me and take over. In the best way that I know how, I'm in, I believe. No one looking around. If you're online, go to everyday.church. Click connect and let us know. If you're just on YouTube or Facebook, you want to comment, let us know. But we want to connect. We want to help you. If you're listening via the podcast, go to our website, everyday.church. Click connect. Let us know. We want to help you be all that you can be in Jesus. We want to help you walk and grow in your faith. Now, if you're in this room, no one look around, would you just slip your hand up and say, hey, I gave my life to Jesus for the first time. I really meant that. I love it. Thank you so much. Okay? We need to talk. I want to have a conversation. I just want to help you be all that you can be in Jesus. Now, if you are a Christian, podcast, online, in this room, would you just say, God, how can 2022 be a great story? What do you want me to do? Now, could he tell you in this moment? He could. But you might need to spend a little more time this week asking the Lord. Would you commit that to prayer? How can 2022 be a year that the Milneys glorify you, that the Newmans glorify you, that Miss Kathy can glorify you, that Derek can glorify you, that the Hickmans can glorify you, the Nelsons, the Jongleys, the Castillos, whoever that may be, whoever's watching, How can 2022 be the best story possible for your name? Pray about it. Pray now. And pray this week and say, God, what is it? Here am I, and here we are. Send us. Send me. Father, I pray that for us. And I can't speak on behalf of everyone. For those that are with me in spirit, that we pray this together. Here we are, God. Send us. Show us how 2022 can give you the most glory. Help this chapter be an incredible chapter in the story of your kingdom and the story of our lives. May we live it out loud. May we live with great faith. May we trust you. Fill us with the Spirit. Empower us, enable us to live such a life that would glorify you in the most and best way possible. In your name we pray. Amen. This is Pastor John. Thank you so much for listening to the Everyday Church Podcast. For more information on us, or if you happen to make a spiritual decision during this message, please let us know and go to our website, www.everyday.church. There's an email link that you can click on, and we would love to hear from you. If there's anything going on that has happened during this message, if the Lord has spoken to you, or you made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Also, if there's a prayer request or concern, then you can email us, and we would love to take the time to pray for you and respond in any way that we can. Again, thank you so much for listening. God bless.